Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September 10th in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founders. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founders brilliant and the solution to the problems we face. We don't need a revolution, ladies and gentlemen. The founders already gave their blood, their sacred honors, and their fortunes to make sure we had a framework to restore America. And believe it or not, we can do just that with pure application of the principles that made America great. Once upon a time, it can do it again. All right, Kurt Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, looks like Hillary Clinton, she said, I'm not going to apologize. You know what? I was just doing what I am allowed to do. Well, now it turns out that she's done about face. Hillary Clinton says, I apologize for personal email use. Are you satisfied, Kurt?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, she's the girl now, of course. I mean, right. Once she says that, I mean, everything's fine for me. I mean, that's just my dream come true. Maybe if we can get Bush on the other side, then, man, I'll tell you what, it'll just be deja vu all over again.
No, Kurt, it'll be the first woman to ever hit the White House. Come on.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
See, it's a special time, my friend.
Good point, yeah.
Question for you. Where have all the entrepreneurs gone, Kurt?
You know, I saw this piece and I thought you would kind of enjoy it because, you know, it seems like our government and so many things are kind of hostile towards entrepreneurs. To me, you know, as one, I guess you could say, you know, so many of the things, for example, you know, our tax code allows for you or individuals to have home-based businesses and so many other things like that. And yet, if you do, you find that, hey, there's certain things that you don't qualify for. For example, you know, if you do take advantage of many of those tax benefits for home-based businesses, et cetera, then you find out that, hey, you probably don't qualify for a home loan, for example, because somehow you've stepped in one area, but you've left the benefits of another.
Well, yeah, and then you basically do your very best to reduce all your taxes by all these kind of write-offs, and they come back and they say, well, you want to get a home loan or a business loan, you don't make enough money. Yep. You're like, wait a minute, exactly. I wrote all this stuff off. Yeah, but now you got to add all that stuff back in. And so the two are kind of at polar opposites.
And then pay
opposites.
All these extra taxes. And then at the end you think, well, now do I have the money to buy a home or to do that? Because I've now paid all these extra taxes to play that game.
Yeah, the article's kind of interesting. It starts out and says, American kids are raised on stories about Henry Ford, Andrew Carnegie, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, etc. It makes you believe that America's a place that, hey, you can take risks and reap rewards. But a growing body of research now suggests that, well, America may not be the entrepreneurial powerhouse that we think it is, Kurt. The U.S. or the United States ranks not first, not second, Kurt, but what?
Yeah,
not third.
Third, but 12th, they say, among the developed nations in terms of business startup activity. This guy, he's a CEO. That means he's a big shot at a big company. Jim Clifton, and he's a president of what they call the polling company Gallup. And he said that in a recent blog post on the state of entrepreneurship in America. He's referring to a 2014 report from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Of course, you knew we had one of those. But he says, you know, they say in the article, so what happened? Well, American entrepreneurship has actually been on the decline for about 40 years. That's according to Lena Khan, That's no relation to Shere Khan. And Open Markets Fellow with New America. She's a fellow? I don't get it. But anyway, it's a nonpartisan think tank.
Kurt, women can be fellows now. Don't you get that? I don't understand what you don't understand.
Yeah, you mean like that Jenner thing. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah. What's wrong with Bruce?
You know, Kate.
Yeah. Whatever her name
is. Oh, yeah. But anyway, the bottom line is, at least when I look at this whole story, you know, it's rather lengthy, and it does point out that, hey, it's tougher. And frankly, we've sent a lot of our economy offshore. But even when we do do some of these things, for example, our next guest is involved in you know, a number of these home-based businesses, and we've known him for years, and yet I'm sure he would say, well, it's kind of a tricky thing navigating the whole tax world in business for yourself, right, Sandy?
Yeah, but he's been an entrepreneur about as long as Kurt's been alive. So,
good point.
There you go. Andy Willoughby, welcome to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Well, hi there. How in the world are you anyway?
We're doing marvelous, my friend. And, you know, it's interesting. You always hear Andy Willoughby on the radio, but you don't think you're going to get to interview him, right?
That's a great
I never
point.
Get to interview him.
Actually, you get to interview him every day, right?
Yeah, I talk to myself more than I should.
All right, let's talk about radio for a minute, because you've been in radio for a long time. You and David Orrick, the vacuum cleaner guy, have been kind of radio's mainstay. Getting kind of like a Paul Harvey on most of the opportunity world, huh?
Well, you know, I've been around the radio industry a long time. I got started, my first job was a all-night DJ at a country western radio station in Joplin, Missouri, and that's back when country wasn't cool. And so I was an all-night DJ. They gave me a name of Z. Alfonso Ratfeller. Now, I was only 18 years old. All my friends were listening to rock and roll, but I was playing country music, Loretta Lynn and Tammy Wynette and Merle Haggard. And but, you know, that's all changed a lot now. Country music's cool. Of course, it doesn't sound like it did back then. But things have changed a whole lot. You know, when I was a kid, before I got into radio working, I remember listening to radio and people were singing at the radio station. I mean, people went to the radio station. They would sing live a lot at the radio station. And then when I actually got into radio, we were using the vinyl records, the flat vinyl records that are coming back again. By the way, nostalgia is bringing them back. People are wanting to play them again. And so things have changed a lot. And of course, today, all the music's on the computer that you hear. It's all already on a computer. They just push a, you know, click a keystroke and they listen to their songs. And most of the time, if you're listening to radio on the music side anyway, a lot of the commercials and everything were already pre-recorded. Of course, all the commercials are pre-recorded, but even the music and sometimes the announcers on the things like satellite radio and everything, they were all pre-recorded hours, maybe days ago.
You know, we asked right at the start of this segment, where have all the entrepreneurs gone? And this is kind of really radio tracks that reality, so to speak, in the sense that, you know what, radio used to be real. It used to be live. It used to be local. And now it's all prepackaged, it's all corporate, it's all controlled, because it's about impossible as a small-time radio operator these days to make it. You got to compete with the big corporate world, who they have pre-recorded programming, where they can program a ton of radio stations, all with a couple of talent people, and that's about it. The rest is all automated. And on the live local scene, you just can't compete with that. It's kind of the problem. This reality has happened not in just radio, but everywhere in business, right?
Well, yeah. When they deregulated the radio industry and you could own more than two radio stations in a market, when I first got into radio, you could own an AM and an FM in your market, and that was it. And so there was a lot of different people that would own radio stations. Wasn't there as many radio stations in the city, but they would own because they could only own two, and they could own them in different cities, and maybe you could only own 12 or 14 altogether. They had laws that protected against that. Well, when that got deregulated, then the corporate world got involved, start buying up as many radio stations as they could, which drove the price up, which put it out of reach for people like you and I. And that's how I ended up going into entrepreneurism, because I could see, well, I wasn't going to be able to buy a radio station because when I first got started, you might could buy a radio station for $500,000 in a big city. Maybe you could, it would cost $1 million, or if it was a really big city, maybe $2 or $3 million. And then everything jumped within a couple of years to stations starting off at a little small radio station starting off at $1 million. And then if you wanted an FM or any signal like that, you were spending $5, $10 million. I mean, there's radio stations have sold for $20 to $100 million. So,
and because of the big corporate structures on the back end, that's not sustainable on the ground with local salesmen and advertisers from most markets. Andy Willoughby, our guest, best known for the three-step plan. We'll talk about it, the evolution of radio, and how you can become an entrepreneur.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
The other interesting thing, ladies and gentlemen, is back in the day, in the 40s and 50s and 60s, you know what? You could put a radio program on the air, and with about 2 or 3 sponsors, you could make that radio opportunity fly. The sponsors would do well. The radio program had plenty of money to make it all happen, and things were golden. That's why they called it the golden age of radio, if you will. And they would mention the sponsors at the beginning in kind of a little bit of a rambling promotion by the live host. Even if it was pre-recorded, it was still by the host, and it was more freestyle. It wasn't homogenized into 1 minute or 30 seconds, and then they'd maybe promote somehow in the middle, or maybe have product advertising right in the presentation itself, and then kind of a promo at the end, and that was it, huh, Andy?
He's being
all right. You there, Andy?
Sam.
Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. That's how they did it. As a matter of fact, they might brush your teeth with Pepsodent during part of the TV show. I mean, it would. It was amazing how they would how they integrated it and they put it all together.
Yeah, like the Lone Ranger might say, "I got to meet this lady for an interview. I better put in my bubble mint gum." And so he chews bubble mint gum and he interviews the gal, right? You know, that kind of an idea.
Hi-ho, Silver.
See, that's how it used to be. And now what you got is you've got just packed commercials that are a minute long, sometimes 30 seconds long, and they just run these commercials back to back to back to back to where they've actually destroyed the medium of radio almost. They've made it to where, you know what, the millennials, the younger generation, they don't even want to listen, sad to say, it seems. Now, we at Liberty Roundtable changed that game. We don't have that many commercials, comparatively speaking. I'm trying to figure out how we can even have less. And you say, well, Sam, it's easy. You just put in less commercials. No, it's not that easy because some people need to use the restroom. Sometimes you've got to get on a guest. There are things that happen behind the scenes that some of those commercials or some of that other airtime helps you accomplish. So it's a balance. The point going forward is that the media world has changed. As an entrepreneur, Andy Willoughby, how has that affected you and your businesses?
Well, it definitely makes it harder to reach people, and you can't hardly do it even the traditional ways that you used to, because, like you say, the new generation's not listening to the radio near as much, and so you're not catching them. You're going to have to catch them online. You're going to have to catch them through relationship marketing to a great extent. I mean, that's one of the areas that I think we're all, you know, we're all here on the call involved in, relationship marketing, and that. Where you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, and people are sharing products amongst each other, recommending them between each other. Now, that's going to be a major part of it. And, of course, the videos on the Internet are going to be very important. And also, one exciting thing, I think, from our perspective, is that the day is going to come back where people will have, where anybody's going to be able to do their own radio station. It pretty well is there right now through the Internet. So, as more and more people have access to the Internet, and as the Internet goes, when the Internet goes into the car, which is not very far, it's already there in many cars, but when the Internet's in the car and you're going to be able to pick up the Internet off the car, then we're going to be able to all rebuild and start our own radio stations again that will go through the Internet. And that's going to be a fun day because there's going to be a lot of people doing that, and it's going to really be we're all going to be micro broadcasters because unless you get people to find, until you get people to find you, they won't know it's there. But we're going to see that day. And certainly, like you said, you really hit the nail on the head about radio, what's happened with the way it's been put together, where they're packing. I know of a radio station that packs 8 minutes of commercials at the end of the first half hour and 8 minutes of commercials at the end of the second half hour. And so that they will show high ratings during the time that people aren't listening to commercials, because certainly they won't listen to 8 minutes consistently of commercials, but they'll show a rating on when they do the ratings in that market, they'll show a high ratings for the first 20 minutes because they can actually measure how much listenership you have for the first 20 minutes. And so they'll show a high rating for that, then they'll go back to the advertising agencies and say, look at our ratings. The advertising agencies buy it because all they want to do is prove to whoever is buying their national advertising or their, you know, or the big enough business that can afford a really expensive advertising campaign and say, see, we've got the numbers because we're on this radio station. We know there's this many people there. And in reality, probably hardly anybody's listening to that commercial unless you're the first commercial in that break or maybe you were the last commercial when just people popped in. You're not going to get the results. So things have changed in the advertising industry, and things are going to keep changing. And, you know, it's just like anything else. Those of us that want to continue in media and continue influencing people, because really that's what we do in advertising. We influence people. We just have to find other ways to do it. People always fail because of the problems. They succeed in spite of the challenges. And that's what makes the difference. And so innovators and entrepreneurs will continue to find those areas. And there's a lot of great areas that we can do it. There's always somebody. When somebody's business is going down, there's somebody else's business is going up. We just got to keep our eyes open and keep working to find the one that's going to draw us to where we want to go.
Well, we also have to be unique to the marketplace. They always used to say, build a better mousetrap. But, you know, I know that sounds cliche at some point, but you really got to ask yourself, what is the new? What is the future? What is the change? What are people looking for? And in radio, it's less commercials. It's shorter programming slots. And it's unique people doing unique things. You want to find a vertical market in something. You've done that over the years. In fact, I don't even know if people know your name's Andy Willoughby or if they think your name is Three Step Plan. Marketing was so good, I make that point, right?
Right. We've done it for years, and the Three Step Plan. And, you know, I found that I had to tie my name with the brand, the Three Step Plan and Andy Willoughby, because people still wanted to tie a person into it. Initially, I really promoted harder just the Three-Step Plan, and then I found out that people remembered it better if you added a name in there. And also, what it did was it helped me within the competition, because initially, we were the first, really pretty much the first ones out there seriously advertising a home-based business. Well, within a couple of years, people said, "Wow, Andy's doing it. Look at, you know, he's getting a lot of exposure there. Let's see what we can do to, you know, tap in on that." We started getting a lot of competition, but it was what first made me the butt of jokes. I mean, people would say, "Well, he's too folksy or he's too corny," and they didn't like the "How in the world are you anyway?" And that's what took me through. That's why I survived, and everybody else didn't, because you hardly ever hear of a home-based business today. And the reason for that is because I did have something unique. I did have something that was, you know, just me, and also I survived. And, you know, one of my theories on how do you win is you outlive the competition.
One of the other ways you won is the simplicity of the plan. A three-step plan for a reason. One, hey, what do you do? Two, what do you do? Three. So, you know what? One is a successful track record. Andy's got it. You want to plug into that and create a mini franchise? Two, hey, we bring the customers to you. It's a way to get people in the door, which is the hardest part that most folks can't simply make happen. Three, low startup costs. How would you like to be in business with me? Try the three-step plan. That was kind of the idea. It was simple and it worked because people could simply say, you know what? That's what I need. I don't know how to bring customers in the door. And I would submit to you that, you know, when they say out of how many businesses start up and fail, most of them fail because they got a great product, a great service. They may do really well and be really knowledgeable about whatever they're trying to do, but they have no idea how to market that sucker. And therefore, hey, you know what? It's done before it even starts, right?
Right. Exactly. There's no way to market it, no way to get the information out. And they spend all their time getting ready to do work instead of working, you know, with their doors unopened. I mean, when you work a home-based business, your doors are only open when you're talking to people about your business and or products.
So, all right, hold on. I had planned to let you go at 30. Can you stay a little longer?
Yeah, I can stay
for right,
more minutes.
Quick pause. We'll keep you for a couple of more minutes. Andy Willoughby, ladies and gentlemen, 3stepplan.com. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Where have all the entrepreneurs gone? Many people ask. From the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, they say, you know what? When it comes to business startup rates, the United States is at the back of the pack. The question is why? And I submit to you that we've been talking about the changes in radio. That directly relates to the changes in business. Business have changed in America. The corporate world has basically taken over. The regulations are primarily hostile to the small business owner. Now, I know there's exceptions, and well, small business used to be the economic engine of the world, and now it's basically been put on the back burner for the most part, and it looks pretty negative. However, I submit to you that it's only negative because there are problems, but it can be positive. And there are people who are outlasting the competition. There are people who are working at the entrepreneurial gigs. There are innovators. There are leaders who still have the vision. Our guest, Andy Willoughby, is one of them. He's well known for 3stepplan.com. The 3-step plan is not a work-at-home job that pays by the hour. Rather, it's a 3-step system designed to help you develop your own independent business with incredible, unlimited potential. That's something that I don't know if Americans are trained to understand, Andy. It almost seems to me that instead of developing your skill set to be an owner, to be an entrepreneur, it's almost like people are being trained to work for the man instead.
Yeah, we're definitely being dumbed down. I mean, at one time we were encouraged for entrepreneurism, and today we're trying to get in line. And the trouble with that line is it's a lower paying line than it used to be. I've heard a public speaker by the name of Brian Tracy talk about you get in the buffet line of life, and if you get out of that line, you're going to be that much further from the food because you get discouraged and you got to stay in the line and keep working at it. Well, that line is getting thinner. There's less good choices. And that's because you've got to get out and do something else on your own. And this is happening in America because of, in my view, it's because of competition. We are competing with people in China and in India that are making 25, 50 cents a day. I mean, when you're competing with those kind of costs, I mean, it's impossible to compete on that level. And so what's happening in America is there's a bigger gap between the haves and the have-nots than there's ever been. And we can either whine about it or we can be complacent about it and say, well, this is my lot in life. Starbucks is going to be the best I can do. Or you can go out and do something about it and be an entrepreneur, because the room for an entrepreneur is still wide open. It's as big as your imagination. It's as big as your conviction. It's as big as your determination. And people are still becoming millionaires and even billionaires with great ideas and hard work, and you can do it. And working from home, I think, is the next frontier, because people are going to come to the place with the terrorism and everything else that's going on where staying at home to do your work and earn your income is going to become more and more attractive because of the way society has gone. So working from home is going to become a bigger and bigger industry, a more important industry, and it can be done. We can do business from home with today's computers, with the internet, where you can send out information immediately. Everybody's got wireless to walk around and do whatever they're doing. You can do business anywhere. And that's what the three-step plan, and that's what I've taught for years. With your laptop and your telephone, you can make a living, not just a living, but you can have a real life. And you can have something that's going to enrich your life, your children's life, and be able to do the things and still have the American dream. You've just got to move. You can't try to stay in the same line. You've got to get into a line that really offers something.
You know, Andy, you know, for years, Sam and I mean, we haven't been in radio as long as you, of course, but, you know, over our years of radio, one of the main things we always wanted to do is try to get the government to take less of not only our income, but, you know, any of our listeners and, well, everybody's income. And, you know, it seems like almost at every front, you know, there's talk about it, but really very few times when the government will just say, hey, yeah, we'll cut back, we'll quit taking so much of your tax dollars. And yet, you know, we've found that if you take advantage of the benefits that are already in place, set in place by Congress, the tax benefits of home-based businesses, that they literally mean thousands of dollars a year less in taxes to individuals. You know, and yet so many times the IRS, because of the way they've done things, they've scared people many times about even thinking of participating in those things, simply because then they'd be like, quote, flagged for an audit. But, you know, it's amazing to me as a home-based business owner and somebody who's participated in these things for years, that if you understand the system and learn just some basic few things, get some help from people who understand it, that you can, I guess you could say, navigate this whole tax system and enjoy the benefits of home-based businesses. And in total, you can lower your tax take and maybe have a little freer country.
So in short, ladies and gentlemen, your primary takeaway is this. The mainstream press wants to know where all the entrepreneurs have gone. My response is, can you still become an entrepreneur? The answer is a resounding yes. The question is how, with who? Well, there are people that are working on it. Andy Willoughby, 3stepplan.com is one of them. There are lots of opportunities, but what you got to have is a little bit of guts. You got to get a little hungry. That's what the founding fathers had that we don't seem to have today in America. You can't just sit around and hope you make a bunch of money. You got to get hungry. You got to wake up in the morning early. You got to put your feet on the ground and work hard. But for those who really want the prize, for those who really believe that they want to be a business owner rather than working for the man, for somebody who wants to be creative or feels like they have a product or a service or something to bring to the table, somebody who wants to find partners, there are little franchises, there are little opportunities everywhere. And as Andy wisely says, you know what? The future is a home-based business. You won't have to drive to and from work. You won't have to eat lunch out all the time. You won't have to buy a bunch of fancy clothes to go work for the man. Even if you make less money, you'll buy yourself a huge measure of freedom. You can beat the tax man by reducing the amount of money that goes to him. And best of all, you can write off almost everything you do. And that really has huge advantages for the American people. So the answer to the mainstream press, where have all the entrepreneurs gone? Well, many of them are still at it. You just don't know about them. How do we bring it together? We use the internet, use videos, use modern technology to make sure that we can network together for solutions. Andy, what's your takeaway over the last 50 years in radio and in business in terms of what I've said?
Well, I think you're perfectly right. The opportunity is still there for the person who will go for it. And people think that they can't make the kind of money working from home, but yet home-based business owners make almost double what the average household owner makes. And its reason is a home-based owner is somebody who got a business started and stuck with it till they succeeded. 75% of all businesses fail in America, all new businesses, 75% of them fail anyway. So just because your brother-in-law tried something, didn't stick with it, and didn't keep working and make it happen doesn't mean it's not going to work for you, because if you'll get in there and work, it'll work. And just, I mean, what you guys said about taxes is so right. You can save so much money off your taxes with legal, legitimate tax benefits that the businesses take all the time. How do you think Warren Buffett gets to keep any money? Because he's got real expensive tax people going through all of his billions of dollars, and he's showing him how to save it. Well, it's not that hard. It's just keeping track of your receipts, just making, saving receipts, and just a little bit of business time spent keeping track of the different things.
You know, it's kind of funny. I'll give you a perfect example. When you're a teenager, what you want to do is you just want to drive around in your car and have fun, right? Well, I got friends that wrap cars in these car wraps, you know, for advertising and such. And then they basically keep track of their miles, and they make the IRS pay them per mile. It's like 50-something cents a mile. And so I've got friends that say, you know what? The government pays me. The IRS literally pays me to drive my car around and promote my business.
That's true. It really is true. I mean, that's like, what, 57 cents a mile that you'll save that you can get back from the government. So, and it's all legitimate tax benefits that were put out there that the big businesses are using. Every expense they can get, they write off everything. Well, you can start writing those things off. Just keep track of them. You know, it's legal. And I really believe in paying taxes. I do not believe that you should, like some people think, don't pay any taxes. It's unfair. Well, you know, if nobody paid any taxes, we wouldn't have any roads. We wouldn't have any police.
There's no doubt of balance. We're flat out of time. Andy Willoughby, come back, will you?
You bet I will.
All right, sir. Thanks so much. 3stepplan.com, ladies and gentlemen. Andy Willoughby, he's actually a real person. All right. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit TopreserveTheNation.com to begin that restoration.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman, Kirk Cosby, talking about you, talking about your life, talking about, well, everybody has to get ahead, Kurt. Everybody has to work harder and harder and harder just to stay alive. With the out-of-control government regulations and huge take of our money and everything else, the idea that you can keep the fruits of your labor is a yesteryear idea. But people are working at it nevertheless, and people are having to turn to caffeine to get it done. And caffeine's killing folks, Kurt. It's killing everybody.
Well,
everybody's just dropping like flies, my friend.
It's an interesting story. And, you know, on the one hand, I'm convinced that there are probably some natural connections or natural sources for the stuff, but they do say in this article, the headline reads, thousands overdosing on caffeine as coffee crisis sparks call for urgent action. Now, you know, what typically you have is they're going to, you know, come to the wrong conclusion, but at least they do say there was a time when getting your daily dose of caffeine meant a simple cup of coffee or tea. They say poured into a ceramic mug, the steaming liquid tended to be enough to give most people that extra burst of energy to get out the door. Yep, they say back then you'd have to drink a heck of a lot. 81 cups of brewed coffee or 317 cups of black tea for the average 195-pound U.S. male to reach a lethal dose. Yeah, typically people wouldn't have 81 cups of coffee in a day or 317 cups of black tea. But they say, so while you might still get the occasional shakiness, nausea, and fast heartbeat associated with ingesting too much caffeine, you were highly unlikely to die from it. But they say somewhere along the way, caffeine became an obsession, a need for many Americans, and an entire industry sprang up to try to make caffeine ingesting more efficient. Yeah, it's more efficient today. They say today it comes in all shapes and formulations. You got Red Bull and Monster energy drinks, stay awake pills, Jolt gum. I've never seen that before. Have you tried that, Sam?
Jolt. Which one's it called? Yeah, I've tried Jolt before, sure.
Okay. Gum? It's a gum.
Yeah. Remember your buddy Tim? Hold on. Your buddy Tim gave me gum to try right in front of you, remember?
Oh, that was it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
I couldn't remember what kind of gum it was. Anyway, then you got the most potent form, they say, the pure powdered kind that meant for people to mix into their food. Yeah, it's sold in bulk in bags or canisters that can cost as little as $10 a pound.
Now, by the way, Kurt, I never use the powder caffeine.
I didn't even know they made it.
Yeah, and I don't use it because, just so you know, you can get way too much too easy. It's very hard to gauge how much you're getting of it and stuff like that. And so I never use it, never.
They say a single teaspoon can be packed with as much as 28 cups of regular coffee. Woo. That'd be quite a bit. But anyway, now they say it's rare, but there are even some deaths, connected to the whole caffeine thing. They say a 14-year-old, and they talk about some of the different individuals that have had, you know, what they say is a caffeine overdose. Anyway, they, you know, talk about these different things, and it is a different world we live in than I guess what our parents were used to. Now with the new ways of, you know, getting caffeine. I don't know what else to say about it, but I did think it was an interesting story.
Well, I'll say this. It's a warning story, Kurt, in my opinion. You know, drinking a can of Mountain Dew or drinking a coffee or a tea of yesteryear, you know what? We can debate how good for you it is, but it's not going to kill you. Okay? The problem with a lot of this new caffeine stuff is, you know what? It is high-powered stuff. And if you drink, like, Starbucks coffee, which is sometimes really, really, really powerful coffee, or, you know, if you drink, you know, certain jolt drinks or energy drinks kind of a thing, they can pack a lot of caffeine. And people need to understand that you can overdose on caffeine quite easily. And in the past, it wasn't really a worry because it was pretty controlled. You know, you'd get it in your soda pop or your coffee or your tea, whatever, in very measured, minimal levels. Nowadays, though, the minimal levels are gone, and people are basically overdosing because, again, if you put it in its pure form or close to pure form powder, a very little change in the amount that you think you're getting has a huge effect. And so thousands are overdosing, as they say, coffee crisis sparks call for urgent action. They're basically saying, you know what, this is a big problem. It didn't used to be. It was never a worry. Now it is. And so you got to be very careful of how you get caffeine and how much you get. And mainly they're talking about children, believe it or not. Now, what do they say, Kurt? In chocolate milk, they got caffeine now, too. You get your kid a chocolate milk, you think it's all
good
cool.
Point.
Hey, you're giving your kids caffeine, my friend. And so the problem is caffeine's in everything. And it's very hard to even tell how much of a dose you're really even getting is part of the problem.
Now, they even do say, though, Sam, that you know, that they think that some studies have found that this stimulant, you know, caffeine, may have some protective effects from diseases like Parkinson's and cancer.
Do you believe that?
I don't personally.
Neither do I.
I'm just telling you.
I know. I don't believe it, though. And hold on. Let me just stop you there, though. Do I think that you can use caffeine and that it can make you, or whatever you're having with your caffeine, and you can believe that it's, you know, effect? I believe the effect may be happening. I don't believe they're wrong on what they're tracking. What I believe is they're attributing it to the wrong reality. In other words, let's say that I drink chocolate milk, for instance. And they say, well, chocolate milk's got the caffeine, and then they attribute, oh, man, because I drink chocolate milk, I don't have Alzheimer's as bad or as often or as easy or as early or whatever you want to say. I believe what they're really doing is attributing it to the wrong element. It might be something else in the milk. It's like a lot of times people say, well, what's wrong with coffee and TV? I mean, it's just the caffeine, right? Well, I say the caffeine's only part of the problem, Kurt. And so oftentimes we have a reality, and then we extrapolate what we believe from that reality, and the belief or what we extrapolate may not be correct is the point.
Yeah, for example, typically you'll find caffeine pretty much coupled in a big way with sugar. Sugar gets a pass, just kind of like alcohol does in most of our society. But anyway, I guess there's even some, in some of these, you remember how, I mean, you studied this whole thing about the DSM-3 and all that stuff. I guess now they got the DSM-5 where they, what that really means, ladies and gentlemen, the way I understand it, Sam knows more about it than me, but you've got in psychology, is it, Sam, or psychiatry?
Psychiatry.
Okay. They evaluate these mental disorders. And, for example, now they have
Well, let me just back you up. Not only do they evaluate these mental disorders, but they create them and get rid of them based on man's whim, Kurt.
There you go.
Just so you know.
Anyway, I guess they've got a new one called caffeine withdrawal. It was added as a bona fide mental health disorder, a move that practically guarantees billing codes for insurance company reimbursement. So, you know, it's kind of a new drug, if you will.
So let me get this right. Being a gay or a lesbian person or having that attraction or acting out on that was considered a mental illness. They've taken that out, and now they've added if you're having caffeine withdrawals. But if you have enough caffeine, Kurt, you never have withdrawals, so you're not, you know.
Yeah, I guess
you're
so.
Okay.
They say one doctor in Baltimore, a professor of psychiatry and neuroscience at Johns Hopkins, he runs a caffeine withdrawal treatment clinic using techniques similar to those for drugs to wean people off the stimulant. So anyway,
Well, it makes me kind of feel caffeine. Like this lady that used to get headaches all the time, Kurt.
Well, yeah, good point. You know, I thought that was an interesting story. So they've got this lady, Sam, who basically she's been having a lifetime of headaches. She's a Chinese lady, 46 years. She's been experiencing for 46 years these headaches. She's 48 years old, and she thought the problem was with her heart, but tests revealed nothing wrong with her heart. So anyway, after suffering with these, they finally ordered a
CAT scan. She's probably going through caffeine withdrawal, Kurt.
Good point. Yeah, I didn't know for sure. But they say the pain is like being pricked with a needle, she told her daughter. She'd undergo a cranial. Now, by the way, they have found a needle in her brain. It was a 1.81-inch needle standing straight up in the left hemisphere of her brain. So now, well, they're going to take that dude out. They say, at least the daughter says, that mother has no recollection of the needle being inserted in her head, but doctor said it must have happened before she was about 18 months old, when her skull was still soft and flexible as a child. So anyway, if you have constant headaches for like 46 years, you might check and see if you've got a needle in there, huh, Sam?
Yeah, they usually say stick a needle in your arm, Kurt. This is a little different. I'm just saying.
Anyway.
You know, well, at least she's not overdosing on caffeine. At least you can't say it's a mental disorder.
Yeah.
Right? And I would hate that.
Wow. No kidding.
Now, I'm not making fun of them. I don't think caffeine is really good for you, okay? But I also think that in... You know, the real key in life, Kurt, for everything is moderation. You know, I think anything you can take to extreme. Isn't there arsenic in bananas, Kurt, for example?
I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised.
All right. Well, a little bit of arsenic probably isn't a problem. A, you start taking very much of that stuff, and you won't be around long. And so in the natural elements of things, there's caffeine in a lot of plants and a lot of things that we use. It's this extreme amounts of things that become toxic by nature. So, you know, if you're going to put a needle in your head, make it a big one. You might notice it faster. I'm just saying. All right. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. 1 hour in the can. You can do your own business. You can get off caffeine. And you can still become an entrepreneur. All right. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. You want to turn your phone into a radio? It's simple and free. Smile and dial 712-432-5339. LibertyRoundtable.com. We the people can restore America. This nation shall endure.